Hello and welcome to another edition of Not Another Sports Show here on 104.5 LP Urbana. Your progressive look at the world of sports. And before we get started, Damien, as always, number one, are you recording? And number two...
It looks like it is recording. And let's see. Oh, yeah, the disclaimer. Yeah. Well, as I've told you all before, WRFU is an open forum for the Urbana-Champaign community. Views expressed are those of the speakers and are not necessarily reflective of the... WRFU, the UCIMC, or the Urbana Socialist Forum.
Yes, and welcome to the end of March. Hopefully your brackets aren't nearly as destroyed as mine. And Damien and I here this past week have taken a real negative approach to everything fairly recently. We've had a very bad week.
Yeah.
things being very, very bad. You know, the state of Illinois... passed pension quote-unquote reform in 12 hours with the greatest name I ever heard for the voting block from Mike Madigan, the Madagoons.
Fitting. Jeez.
Which is going to make public employees work until age 67 to get fully vested into pensions. Just some very difficult things to deal with.
No, that's terrible.
Really, really horrible things. Yeah. So we wanted to start off with a story... about Damien's favorite football player. So, Damien, why don't you take this one?
Okay, so this is about, everyone's favorite, I guess religious whack job in the NFL, Tim Tebow, right? And so he was, this has to do with the NFL Combine, and he had proposed... To lead a moment of prayer, apparently.
Yes, for those of you who don't know who Tim Tebow is, he's the former Florida quarterback, the former Cougar Hunt, I'm sorry, Focus on the Family ad spot person, and current Gatorade salesman.
So leading up to the Wonderlic aptitude test, he wanted to lead the group in prayers. And, he's like, let's all bow our heads, for a moment of prayer. And some unnamed player, just out of the blue, yells, "Shut the blank up!" Like, fill in the blank, right? That's, yeah, absolutely. That was awesome. Well done, unnamed player. We salute you.
Yes, and apparently the rest of the group also broke out into applause.
Yeah.
So, entire group, fantastic job. Very well done. A small little ray of sunshine into
that cheers me up a little bit.
It's been a very difficult week for the two of us. Also got an update on a story we covered last week. The snubbing of Johnny Weir from Stars on Ice. And its intersection with another past story, noted smear merchant and general all-around evil person, Ari Fleischer. When Ari resigned from his White House job in 2003, Fleischer was recruited by IMG, who saw a place in sports for the man's image massaging and crisis managing skills. Through his PR firm, Ari Fleischer Sports Communications, which has a 50% partnership with IMG, and IMG produces Stars on Ice, which Johnny Weir is currently being banned from being a part
of. This is like one of those 6 degrees of separation thing, isn't it? It's like Ari Fleischer cannot be more than 6 degrees separate from some kind of disgusting iniquity, right? It's like no matter what, I mean, like he was right in the thick of it during the Bush administration, and now it's just like, well, no matter what, he's like 6 degrees of separation away from some like tragic work of fascism. Right? I mean,
so
anyway, yeah, this is interesting.
Fleischer's influence at IMG is probably yet another reason, in addition to the conservatism of Smuckers, the tour sponsor,
we
won't be seeing Johnny Weir skate in the Stars on Ice. Indeed, Fleischer is no doubt helping IMG manage their controversy about the snub of Johnny Weir.
Well, I mean, that wouldn't be a surprise, right? I mean, they certainly have a vested interest in what's going on there, but geez, Ari Fleischer. That's another one of those guys that you just never... it's like a perennial topic for us. It's like, what's he been up to lately?
Ari Fleischer watch.
Yeah, I know. It's like, this guy's out of control. Let's see, what else do we got here? I guess this one actually isn't so funny, right? Portland State women's basketball coach, Sherry Morrell, who's taken her team to its first appearance in an NCAA tournament. They're seeded at 15th, and our attorney Longshot, she had been the coach at Washington State before resigning, and she took the Portland State job after that. She also decided to be more open about who she is, and Morrell altered her coaching style and decided she'd be open about her sexuality, proudly placing a picture of herself, partner, and twins in the media guide. She remains the only Division I head women's basketball coach, and saying the honesty is easier on her partner, boosters, and players. She's quoted as saying, it's not like I had a team meeting and said, hey, I'm a lesbian, but if the kids ask, coach, do you have a family, I tell them, and I make a conscious decision, this is how it was going to be. A lot won't do it because of a fear of the unknown, she goes on to say. People not wanting to see their kids, not wanting to send their kids to play for you. I do not know how it was going to play out, but it didn't keep me from being authentic about being myself, and it became a non-issue. So, there you have it. Family-friendly and LGBT.
Stars on Ice. Take note.
No, I mean, seriously. I mean, it couldn't get any more family-friendly than this, right? I mean...
yeah.
This could go on the back of a jar of Smuckers. Right? I'm just saying.
Yeah, it is wholesome and family friendly.
It is.
Just like Smuckers. Smuckers.
Oh, well.
Now, we've also talked a bit about how owners have asked players for revenue concessions to generate more revenue since taxpayers aren't able to subsidize their stadiums as much. But on this show, we really haven't discussed owners increasing prices to generate more revenue as well. Hmm. Well, the Super Bowl champion New Orleans Saints are tearing out three sections of Superdome seats, displacing numerous season ticket holders, just so they can turn their old press box into luxury suites. As a Deadspin.com commenter stated, quote, who dat say ain't gonna seat them Saints?
You know, it makes you wonder, though. You saw Capitalism, A Love Story, right?
Yes.
You remember that expose they did with the, what was it? That sort of internal memo that an investment brokerage sent out to its people about the plutonomy. You know, how, the real growth in the economy isn't geared towards just selling for regular people. It's like high-end luxury items, because that's where the wealth is in America anymore. You know, it's like getting more and more concentrated in rich people. So I wonder if this is, you know, kind of a similar thing here. Well, it's sad, right? I mean, there's fewer regular people that can go to see these games now.
Well, we've even noticed that locally with some issues when they did the refurbishments of Memorial Stadium.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
About half the stadium was redone and made really, really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And it displaced a whole lot of people who had tickets for years.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All in the names of making more and more money.
That's right. That's right. Well, they see a profit in the high-end sales, you know, and wealth disparity is just, constantly on the increase.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, they refurbished half of Memorial Stadium, and it replaced fans. Numerous fans.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The new, quote-unquote, fans in the best part of Memorial Stadium have access to elevators that carry them to the upper stadium levels, while the other fans have to walk up ramps. Private funders can have plush seats, covered seating, and reserved parking, while the general public has access to smaller steel benches and remotely located unreserved parking. These richer corporate fans are really quickly starting to displace actual regular fans, mm-hmm, in numerous sports venues, including what we've got locally with Memorial Stadium.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, it's just crazy. It's there's becoming a real disparity between the haves and the have-nots. You know, it's manifesting itself everywhere. You know. Anyway, what else do we got, Neil? We got Major League Soccer news, right?
Yes, Major League Soccer. Well, as our soccer correspondent, Damian.
Oh, come on, whatever. I feel like a Democrat on a harsh conservative offensive here. It's like I don't even really care about soccer that much. I just feel that they're unjustly defamed here. Anyway, okay.
Unjustly defamed. No, I stand by the fact that soccer is immortally boring.
I apologize to all of our listeners for having to witness this.
Think about the last World Cup.
Okay.
Was there any discussion about games? No. The only discussion was one of the only things of action when Zinedine Zidane headbutted that fascist Materazzi.
Which was pretty cool, though.
That was the only thing that was talked about from the World Cup.
Well, okay. Moving right along.
Saying you're the World Cup champion is kind of like saying you're the world's tallest midget. Who would know?
Oh, how many people did we just lose? We lost...
USA!
We're losing fans left and right here.
And, that Oprah lady's getting a bigger lead.
Yeah, squeezing us out. Anyway, okay, so this was supposed to be a lead-up to some news from Major League Soccer. They averted a major lockout and strike with the new collective bargaining agreement. They announced this on March 20th. And the five-year deal... would address several of the players' concerns, with the majority of contracts guaranteed with the majority of contracts guaranteed greater ability to change teams at the end of a contract, though not outright free agency, and they also increased compensation. The old deal allowed teams to control the rights to out-of-contract players if certain conditions were met. Though few details were available, management and the players' union said players whose contracts had ended could go through a re-entry draft, which would be a more transparent way of moving players to new teams if their previous teams can't or won't make a new deal with them. So, looks like they got a decent deal.
Yeah.
Decent contract.
And one of the interesting things, I found out the median salary for these soccer players is about $40,000.
Not so surprising, I guess, but yeah. I guess there's probably like two guys that are making $1 million, and then the rest are working for peanuts. Something like that. Anyway.
The new baseball players union head, Michael Wiener, anticipates talks with Major League Baseball on their new collective bargaining agreement. Hmm. He hopes that they'll begin by spring training or perhaps a bit earlier next year. The current bargaining agreement ends in 2011, in December. Early on, it appears that the importance of drug and human growth hormone testing is going to be a key issue in the bargaining process, primarily the validity of these tests if they're going to more harshly punish players for using such drugs mm-hmm. and such performance enhancers,
mm-hmm.
that they want to make sure the tests are legitimate and valid before they...
I would hope so, right? I mean, if people's careers are on the line based on the results of these tests, they better know. That's interesting. Something to keep our eyes open for, right?
And the labor trifecta.
Yeah, there we go. Hockey.
The National Hockey League has begun to deal with blindside hits and concussions. After some recent incidents, there's been an increasing set of penalties and discussion of new rules to protect players from blindside hits. Anaheim's James Wisniewski crushed Chicago's Brent Seabrook into the glass at 2:22 of the team's game last Wednesday night in Anaheim. As Wisniewski left his feet and drove Seabrook's head into the glass with his arms, the Blackhawks and Team Canada defenseman looked concussed as his legs gave out and he crumbled to the ice. He later skated on his own to the Chicago bench but didn't return to the game, and a team spokesman only called it a, quote, upper body injury.
Hmm.
The NHL decided to give Wisniewski an 8-game suspension, and the NHL Board of Governors has gone further and unanimously approved a rule prohibiting a, quote, lateral, back pressure, or blindside hit to an opponent where the head is targeted or as the principal point of contact, and the NHL Players Association has now also signed on endorsing a ban of such blindside hits.
Yeah, no, that's good. I mean, it's one of those things. It's like there's a lot of people who like hockey because of the violence. You know, I mean, it's almost like a gladiator sport on ice. And, you know, there is actually, like, you know, technique behind this sport.
I mean,
you know, there's stuff to be appreciated other than just the occasional fight. I don't know.
I enjoy the good, clean, like, open ice checks.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the occasional, I'm going to throw my gloves off and punch you repeatedly in the head.
I mean, they get passionate about their game, right? You know, and, like, towards the last period, like, they're going to be a little bit, you know, aggressive.
And but, Damien, there's an entire job in hockey called the goon. And... If you're going to say that we have to get rid of fights and checks, do you really want to have that on your conscience of making all these people unemployed?
Good point.
Really?
Good point. Really? No, I understand.
I thought you were a unionist, Damien, and here you are.
I don't want these guys to lose their jobs. Yeah, right, I'm a unionist, so yeah, the goon is definitely a...
Solidarity forever, Damien. Right. Solidarity forever.
Jeez.
A total of 18 states now charge what's commonly being called a jock tax to make money off of highly paid pro athletes visiting their teams. But yeah, Tennessee has a tax which took effect July 1st, 2009 that's different from the others. The other 17 allow visitors to get relief through a deduction when filing their taxes back home, but Tennessee doesn't. Tennessee, which does not have a state income tax, joined a handful of states in taxing professional athletes in what it calls a privilege tax. The tax was designed to tap into the wallet of anyone playing for an NHL or NBA team for more than 10 days in a tax period within the state's boundaries, the same way the other 17 states hit up pros who play for Tennessee teams. The NFL's Tennessee Titans, based in Nashville, are not mentioned in the lawsuit. And this money heads back to the city of Nashville, home of the Predators, and Memphis, where the NBA's Grizzlies play. A spokesman for the NHL Players Association told the Associated Press on Friday that the Players Union had retained a tax expert to review the legal options in regards to Tennessee's tax. NBA and NHL players are hit for $2,500 a game, with a limit of $7,500 a game for a maximum of 3 games. This actually eclipses many players' game check that they get for mm-hmm. playing the entire game. It goes over 100% sometimes in taxes.
Jeez. So you're actually losing.
This is the same amount that members of the Memphis Grizzlies and Nashville Predators pay, despite both of them playing over 40 games in Tennessee.
Oh, okay, I see. Yeah, that's tricky.
Yeah, so, Tennessee,
yeah. Although, yeah, it's kind of weird. Tennessee?
And you know, and our next story is a little bit about Ben Roethlisberger, but one of the great Onion headlines I saw recently was Pennsylvania school children lead nation in how to spell the last name Roethlisberger.
Yeah, I mean, what is it? It's got an S in there. Kind of spelled like burger at the end.
Ben Roethlisberger's and the Pittsburgh Steelers coach Mike Tomlin isn't hiding his anxiety about the potential sexual assault allegations and charges against quarterback Ben Roethlisberger, saying, quote, "I'm highly concerned for our franchise and for Ben personally." NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell said Monday in a news conference that he plans to meet with Roethlisberger about his latest sexual assault allegations, saying, quote, "We're taking it very seriously. We're concerned that Ben continues to put himself in this position, and at the appropriate time, I'll be meeting with Ben," close quote. Regardless of how the legal situation or criminal charges play out, Goodell could suspend Roethlisberger right now under the league's personal conduct policy. But yet he probably won't. You know, this reminds me of the case of what's being called Maddie 7 Grams Jones, the now Cincinnati wide receiver, where he was busted in his car a couple seasons ago cutting up 6 grams of coke with other people in the car. And he got a slap on the wrist drug treatment from the judges. And Goodell waited until the Jaguars, who he played with at the time in Jacksonville, were statistically eliminated from the playoffs before he made him institute his 4-game suspension.
That's right. God forbid it affect the outcome of a game, right?
Yes.
Jeez.
And so, you know, we're seeing that here. I'm wondering when the appropriate time is going to be, Mr. Goodell.
Yeah.
You know, at this point, you know, there's more than enough. This is a firestorm of negative controversy. So why wouldn't you suspend him now?
I mean, it just seems like, I mean, I'm no psychologist or anything, but it just seems like Roethlisberger is a little bit on the sociopathic side of things too, right? I mean, it's like he knows that he's kind of invincible or something. He can just go out and do this stuff. You know, hardly any consequences to it. Even the, you know, Georgia Bureau of Investigation is like bending over backwards to, you know, appease this guy. It's like, yeah, he didn't come in to, answer our questions. Well, you know, he's within his rights to do that, blah, blah, blah. It's like, you guys could pressure him, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I've seen those cop shows.
Yeah. It's like the old, when I was talking to you on the phone about this, it's like that old episode of the Chappelle Show, uh-huh, where they have the black drug dealer getting the posh treatment and the white corporate criminal getting treated terribly
by the police.
That's if they really wanted to, you know. And the Georgia Bureau of Investigation has apparently also withdrawn its request for a DNA sample from Roethlisberger, and there's no comment when or why the request was withdrawn. But it appears that everybody's facts say that Roethlisberger was in this bathroom with this girl, while two people, off-duty cops, were standing outside being bodyguards, not letting people go into the bathroom.
I hadn't heard that.
And everybody's pretty much admitting that that happened. But where the sticky situation, no pun intended, comes in is whether or not it was consensual. And even if you find DNA, it doesn't necessarily go into consent or not. And so, you know, there's saying that they're going to have a very difficult time potentially in charging him.
I don't know. I didn't know that about the off-duty cops acting as bodyguards outside of the room. I mean, that does sort of make it seem rather creepy, doesn't it?
Yes.
I don't want to jump to any conclusions or anything. And once again, I'd like to remind everyone of our disclaimer.
Yes.
But, maybe I'll just leave it at that. Gilbert Arenas, right?
Yeah, speaking of police and justice.
Yeah, the Washington Wizards player, Gilbert Arenas, who faced charges for bringing four handguns to his team's stadium to play a prank against another player, got 30 days in a halfway house after the judge believed his offense did not merit jail time. Yet people are saying that he should have gotten jail time, that he got off, and that his power and influence prevented him from getting justice, if you want to call it that. He lost an estimated $7.4 million in salary. He surrendered twice that amount in endorsements, and as a convicted felon, he will never be able to vote in his state of residence, Virginia. His reputation, as well, has been utterly wrecked. It's just amazing how we don't take this stance for Cheney and other war criminals prosecuting the two illegal wars. You know, I mean, this is, you know, and the bottom line is, he did a pretty stupid thing, but no one got hurt.
Yeah.
You know, no one got hurt out of this. And, I mean, yeah, he's taken a hit with this. Yeah. I don't know what more people want from this.
And you know? Just listening to sports radio, which is one of those things you kind of just have to do occasionally, like if you have nothing else to do.
Yeah.
Like everybody, you know, like making allusions to O.J. Simpson.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, no one got hurt here.
Yeah. Bringing handguns to work, okay,
it's a stupid thing to do.
But
it
is not the equivalent of murdering one's wife and boyfriend.
Yeah.
You know, they're not even in the same ballpark. It's not even the same sport.
Exactly. It was a really not well-conceived prank. I mean, that's basically what it was. And, yeah, stupid thing to do. He paid for it. He more than paid for it. Anyway.
The concussion conundrum, as we've been calling it's been a recurring story on this, as we've been talking about it, has now even reached the worked activity of professional wrestling. In 2008, World Wrestling Entertainment, also known as WWE, adopted a concussion management program, which includes this. The WWE penalizes through fine and or suspension the following: the intentional use of a folding metal chair to strike an opponent in the head, which is really kind of laughable since it pretends to punish wrestlers if they grab ringside chairs of their own accord rather than part of a script. But no one made a big deal about it until Linda McMahon's Senate run for the now going to be vacant Chris Dodd's Senate seat in Connecticut. Rob Simmons, vying for the Republican nomination with McMahon, called her out on it, saying if she would be testifying at a state hearing on a bill to prevent concussions among student-athletes. Her wrestling organization, he said, is setting a poor example. It was a bit of showmanship on his part, but an effective one, and the WWE changed its policy regarding chair shots. In January 2010, WWE amended its talent wellness program specifically regarding the Impact Concussion Management Program, originally instituted in 2008, eliminating the use of folding chairs and props to strike an opponent in the head. So, you know, we've even got pro wrestling getting in on this issue about, you know, making sure that they're not having athletes with concussions after they've taken a lot of flack from a former pro wrestler. What's his name? Christopher Nowinski. There we go.
Yeah.
Harvard grad who also went into wrestling, and he had to leave because he got a number of concussions in a very short period of time.
Oh, I mean, it's that profession is just rife with the. I remember the there's that famous match with was it Mankind and
Undertaker.
Where he was basically completely out of it for the entire match, right?
Yeah, after he fell through the cage to the mat.
Yeah. And I mean that's just one example. It's brutal out there, you know. You say it's staged or whatever, choreographed, but
you still have to take the falls.
Yeah, I know. It's like I still think that steel chair is making contact with people, and that's not going to feel good.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's see, what else do we have here?
Golf.
Oh, we have golf. Yeah.
And it's not Tiger Woods golf story, so don't worry, folks.
That's right. So it's not going to, I can actually talk about this. Anyway, at least two reporters have refused to cover golf's Tavistock Cup because they are being forced to wear shirts with the corporate logo and colors. As Golf World writer Ron Serak stated, so I get to the shuttle and a friendly enough chap says, didn't they give you a shirt? To which I replied, yes, they certainly did, and a damn nice one it is. That was apparently the wrong answer. The guy who now is getting very serious about his job says, in the spirit of the competition, everyone is wearing a shirt. Everyone expected to wear either Lake Nona blue or Islesworth red. Or maybe it's the other way around. Frankly, the absurdity of the request, which wasn't really a request, directed my attention away from the details. Anyway, I replied, in the spirit of journalism, I cannot wear your corporate uniform while I'm covering your event. I am here as a journalist, not as a billboard. Bravo.
And then, meanwhile, you know, all the mainstream media people are, you know, wearing their cheerleader outfits for the White House and just, you know, having to put down their pom-poms for a second. I'm like, wait, this is bad? You mean I'm not supposed to have done this?
Yeah, that's right.
And I just kind of find it funny that they're wearing red and blue. It's like the upper class, you know, sheltered, gated community version of the Crips and the Bloods.
No kidding. I thought you were going to say, like, some teabagger wearing, like, an American flag shirt or something.
Oh, we'll get to the teabaggers later in this show.
Okay. So. What else do we got?
Florida State University recently had 12 forfeited games under men football coach Bobby Bowden. And they had fought a very big legal fight to try to get those 12 wins reinstated. They spent $70,000 from the Boosters Fund and $102,000 in Florida taxpayer money to try to reinstate these wins. $102,000. You're telling me at Florida State University they couldn't find a better use for $102,000 than to reinstate wins for a coach that's already retired? Honestly. And, you know, we're going to take a quick break here, and we're going to come back and talk with you about the true madness of March, as some recent studies have just come out about the NCAA men's basketball program and graduation rates. So we'll come back in a couple of minutes and talk very briefly about that for a few minutes. And then the last little bit, we've got a little surprise about the teabaggers.
Excellent.
Quite amusing. So, we'll leave you for a few minutes, and we'll be back right here on Not Another Sports Show. Let's see, what song do we want to play? Let's throw that on.
A war for gold, a war for money, and a war for souls. A war on terror, a war on drugs, a war on kindness, a war on hugs. A war on birds and a war on bees. They got a war on hippies trying to save the trees. A war with jets and a war with missiles. A war with high-seated government officials. Wall Street war on high finance. A war on people who just love to dance. A war on music, a war on speech. A war on teachers and the things they teach. A war for the last 500 years. War's just messing up the atmosphere. A war on Muslims, a war on Jews. Jews, a war on Christians and Hindus. A whole lot of people saying kill them all. They got a war on Mumia, Abu Jamal. The war on Pop is a war that's fair, a war that's filling up the nation's jails. World War 1, 2, 3, and 4. Chemical weapons, biological war. Bush War 1 and Bush War 2. They got a war for me, they got a war for you. We can't stop it when the beat just drops. We can't stop it with the rebel rock. We can't stop it till we hit those heights. We can't stop it cause we love this life. To the new day, sing to the new day, rhyme to the new day, transform hell into heaven. God lives through, grab hold of today. Yesterday is over, tomorrow may be too late. Everything is one, but the one is unbalanced. Music made full of dollar, like soul and talent. Really ain't it all about the feeling you was having as a child, running wild before the mind programming set in, threatening.
Yo, establishment,
get in this energy.
Lay back and see
the next man wrecking
till the masses lay.
Hey, headstand, brethren,
get to asking.
And we'll win, Mr. President.
What do you know?
It's evident, setting it slow.
How does it go?
An unprecedented event is about to unfold. The devil can't start work, start blocking the glow, falling the sound here. Freedom come knock at the door. They try locking it though, but we about to explode. We got the firefly tiger, our apocalypse flow. So deep in the bottom of your bottomless soul. Sin mind guards flying out without a pistol. Redesign lost minds got out of the cold. Bring order to a world that is out of control. Truth you say, I say, how do I know?
We can't stop it when the beat just drops. We can't stop it when the rebel rock. We can't stop it till we hit those highs.
I wanna rock with heads because I love hip hop. I wanna rock my beats all around the block. If I was in Baghdad, then I would rock, I rock. I wanna rock with punks because I love punk rock. I wanna rock with heads because I love hip hop. I wanna rock my beats all around the block. There's just one love, so the planet will rock. New world days and new world nights. New world wrong and new world rights. New world funds and the new world banks. With the new world guns on the new world tanks. New world devils and new world gods. New world jails, see the new world's hard. New world names, sing new world songs. New world planes are the new world bombs. New world flying, the new world's dying. The new world's crying, the new world's trying. New world sons and new world daughters. They're already selling us new world water. New world beats for the new world to bang. New world streets for the new world to hang. New world president, new world drugs. New world resident, new world thugs. New world players for new world sports. New world trials for new world courts. New world lawyers and new world laws. New world prisons and new world bars. New world fight, the new world fist. New world lighting up, the new world split. New world smoking, the new world burns. New world smoking, the new world dead.
We can't stop it when the beat just drops. We can't stop it when the rebel rock. We can't stop it till we hit those heights. We can't stop it cause we love this life. We can't stop it when the beat just drops. We can't stop it with the rebel rock. We can't stop it till we hit those heights. We can't stop it cause we love this life. We don't stop.
Okay, and we are back after a brief break to talk a little bit about the true madness of March. Everybody knows the NCAA men's basketball tournament is in full swing, and if you're like me, unfortunately your bracket has been horrifically busted. And pure editorial comment, come on K-State, come on K-State. Because if K-State makes the title game and or wins that title game, there's a very significant possibility that I could win my pool, potentially. But more than that, as people keep watching these wonderful, wonderful basketball games, there's a growing disparity between graduation rates for white and black players on NCAA men's basketball teams this year, and it's been growing. The annual report released by the Institute for Diversity and Ethics in Sport at the University of Central Florida shows that 45 teams participating in the tournament this year out of the 65 graduated 70% or more of their white players, but only 20 teams graduated at least 70% of their black players. Players on teams headed to the NCAA women's tournament, however, are graduating at a higher rate than the men. the graduation gap between white and black players is smaller for women than it is for men. There were 19 women's teams that had a 100% graduation rate compared to 6 men's teams. And 51 women's teams graduated at least 71% of their players compared to 29 men's teams. The report relies on information provided by the NCAA. The numbers measure 6-year graduation rates for freshman classes that entered college from the 1999-2000 season through the 2002-2003 school years. Derek Z. Jackson, writing for the Boston Globe, said it was very disturbing when the graduation success rates players belonging to the best teams are worsening. For example, top powerhouse Kentucky made a Division I tournament with a graduation rate of 18% for its black athletes and 31% overall, saying, quote, "This program single-handedly betrays the NCAA as toothless in the exploitation of its athletes." Kentucky's graduation rate scorecard for its black players for the last 6 years is this: 18, 17, 9, 17, 17, and 0.
Whoa.
Over the last 10 years, the black player graduation rate has never risen above 29%, and its overall graduation rate passed 50% only once in 2001.
Wow.
Jackson says the NCAA should ban the likes of Maryland, Texas, Nevada, Las Vegas, and Kentucky because the concept of student-athlete is beyond repair. At those schools, the athletes are semi-pros who should be paid.
Mm-hmm.
Maryland was in the tournament this year with a graduation rate for its black athletes of 0%, and overall, 8%.
That's ridiculous.
Texas and Nevada, Las Vegas are also at the tournament, with both colleges not reaching over 22% when it comes to graduation rates among blacks. The University of California at Berkeley has a campus graduation rate of 85%, including 62% for black students. But the graduation success rate for both black and white athletes is zero, notes Jackson. Until the NCAA demands studies of another sort and starts banning programs that do not heed the demand, March Madness will remain a national indictment of how we let college sports drive us stark raving mad. The NCAA says 56% of black... The NCAA says that 56% of black basketball players now graduate from Division I teams, while white players have an 81% graduation rate. And I believe even Arnie Duncan weighed in on this, Damien, if you want to take that.
Because
anything I have to say about Arnie Duncan... would not be able to be uttered during non-safe harbor hours on this radio station.
Well, I mean, we're both members of Teachers Union, so yeah. Anyway, Education Secretary Arnie Duncan has proposed that NCAA teams with graduation rates of less than 40% be banned from postseason play, including the men's March Madness basketball tourney. The schools that have men's basketball teams with graduation rates of less than 40% are Arkansas Pine Bluff at 29%, Baylor at 36%, California at 20%, Clemson 37%, Georgia Tech at 38%, Kentucky at 31%, Louisville at 38%, and Maryland at 8%, as Neil's already mentioned. Missouri is at 36%, New Mexico State 36%, Tennessee's graduating rate is 30%, and Washington is 29%. Duncan's office cannot implement such changes, but he has stated he will use the bully pulpit to promote. So he's more of, you know, in an advisory position. But, I mean, something needs to be done, right? I mean, it's just ridiculous. They're basically bringing these people, these players in, and just squeezing as much promotional labor out of them as possible, much performance in the court as they can. And then once they're done, just...
Yeah, and it always seems kind of, you know, we've seen the racial gap when it comes to testing graduation rates in schools, you know, prior to college, and this is, you know, no real different. It's not really different there, you know, it's still happening and it's widening. And, you know, this whole idea of, well, these kids shouldn't be paid because they get, you know, their tuition. Well, clearly they're not using it if they're not going to graduate.
Exactly.
This becomes, you know, they're basically working for free.
That's right.
You know, and Duncan, If they don't get 40% graduation rates, ban them from the tournament. I swear, this man has a hammer of punishment, and everything he sees is a nail. It's punishing everybody first, asking questions later.
Yeah.
When it became the mass firing of those teachers in that poor district in Rhode Island. Let's support that, because we're getting rid of the bad teachers.
That's right. Well, both he and the president supported that, which is just tragic. No, I mean, you know, AFT and NEA both put a lot of volunteer labor hours into the campaigns for Obama. And it's just ridiculous, you know. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, he owes them something because of that, but he should have at least had more sense about the real issues behind that.
Yeah.
You know, it's ridiculous.
And then, you know, Duncan and his promotion of charter schools, which has made an absolute mess out of Chicago Renaissance 2010. Yeah. And, you know, there's the rule in the NBA that says players have to play at least 1 year of college before they can go on to the
That's
NBA.
Right. Yep.
Or wait out a year. They can't just jump straight from high school. And so this is having a very poor effect on some universities, where you have kids coming to a university, taking the minimum amount of class hours for one semester, and then being done, and very clearly just waiting out the clock to be able to go to the NBA and get their payday.
Yeah.
And while you may say that some of these players shouldn't get paid because, you know, they're jumping to the NBA, that's a very minuscule amount. And there's some universities which have a fantastic way of, you know, making sure their kids graduate. Like, Xavier is one of the better schools with high graduation rates. University of Illinois has been having a pretty good way of graduating most of its athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And so these kind of issues need to get dealt with. And rather than turning these universities into just, you know, turning these kids into profit makers for the universities. I mean, as Dave Zirin noted in a recent column, there's a reason that NBA Commissioner David Stern wants players to wait a year in college before they can come to the pros. It's not, so he says, they can mature. It's so they can build their brand and whet the appetite of the basketball-watching public. And the NBA doesn't have to pay a dime.
Right.
And, you know, you have these amateurs, quote-unquote, playing in tournaments. The NCAA tournament is worth $6 billion. That is 6,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, tournaments. And the NCAA then owns their image forever. And they can sell it off into video games, advertisements, and other assorted merchandise. You know, we have the Ed O'Bannon class action lawsuit we've been talking about with the NCAA, where they're saying, you know, in those video games, it may not have my name on it, but he's still 6'11". You know, he does exactly what I do.
Mm-hmm.
He wore my number.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's exactly me without my name. Pay me for that use of my name and my likeness. The same way, you know, they're suing about the commercials. Everybody in Build Up to March Madness has seen those Christian Leitner shots from Kentucky of 1992, Kentucky Duke, in which they won the game in that Christian Leitner shot. And yet Christian Leitner never sees a dime of that, and everybody else in that commercial never sees a dime.
Yeah.
And it just goes to enrich and fatten the pockets of the universities and the NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have everybody getting paid except for these players.
Yeah.
You know, like, let's just end this charade and, you know, either set up, you know, there's a couple of different options. I was talking to my friend Dan. You know, we could pay them a stipend for their labor. Or the NBA could pull a rule from, like, Major League Baseball, where it becomes, you've got two options. You jump right out of high school, or you wait 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So the 3 years goes towards, you know, if you go to, then if you're going to college,
you can do that, or you can go straight into.
Yeah, you can. You go mm-hmm. either jump straight in, or you stay 3 years at college, which is going to help graduation rates. If you're mandatorily having to stay there three seasons,
mm-hmm.
instead of this, wait 1 year, make the joke out of the university when you very clearly don't want to attend. I mean, Derrick Rose had the issue with somebody else taking his ACT test so he could go to Memphis for one semester before he would jump to the draft.
Right. I mean, yeah, what does a person do who just wants to play basketball and doesn't want to actually get a college degree?
Yeah.
It's a waste of resources, really, right? I mean, it's not what they want to do.
Yeah. Everybody's getting paid in this situation. You know, the coaches are making millions. The NCAA is making millions. The university is making tons of money. And it's all built on the backs of these players.
Yeah.
And, you know, these are quote-unquote amateurs, but everybody else, you know, has turned this into a racket, and they're all making money off of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's just lose the charade and either pay these players or put in a new rule where they have to stay, you know, more than one season in college, which will then boost up the graduation rates for those teams. You know, or let them jump straight out of high school if they don't want to go to college. You leave that option open.
Yeah.
I mean, a rule like that would be able to help this kind of situation and try to deal with some of these abysmally poor graduation rates rather than punishing them and saying, no, the tournament is not yours to have. No, you can't attend the tournament because I'm Arnie Duncan. No, punishment is the only thing I know how to do. Punishment, punishment, punishment. Punish, punish, punish.
On the one hand, he's shedding light on the issue. But yeah, it's like typical Arnie Duncan fashion, right? It's like not really thinking about the nuances of this problem. You know, just must fix,
smash, smash, smash. Arnie Duncan angry.
Arnie smash.
Arnie Duncan smash.
Fire all teachers. That will make education more gooder.
Yes, we will hire the new ones from an undisclosed location. That magical undisclosed location. So, you know, really, it's giving you something a little bit to think about. You know, granted, we did cover this briefly because we've got something kind of fun that we needed a little lighthearted moment to end the show on.
Yes.
These graduation rates we've dealt with a bit. And it's going to be something to watch in March Madness. It comes up a lot of different seasons that, you know, these universities are making millions. CBS is making money off this tournament with the $6 billion contract. And it's only getting more and more rich.
Mm-hmm.
By all these corporations that are making money off of these athletes. So there's a couple of different options, like we talked about, that would be able to fix this situation and honor it for what it actually is, rather than saying, you know, they're in it just because, you know, it's, you know, free promotion for them.
Right.
And
right.
So, you know, we've kind of apologized that we had to, you know, take it short, but there's not a whole lot to talk about outside of, you know, us cracking jokes about Arnie Duncan and kind of shining some light on these terrible graduation rates.
Yeah, it's really atrocious.
How to go about and fixing them, whether it's paying them a stipend, you know, if they have no intent in actually staying in college, pay them a stipend for, you know, some of the value that they help to create, or set up a rule that says they can jump straight out of high school, or they have to wait 3-4 years.
Yeah, makes
sense.
And
then that helps with college graduation if they choose to go to college, because
mm-hmm.
they're legally not allowed to mm-hmm. jump then. But, you know, the healthcare bill passed, and this is kind of, you know, onto something completely different in Monty Python ass. And, you know, we've had a very stressful week, you know, very kind of just negative week with a lot of different things happening. And so last night, my friend Josh sent me this video of interviews with Tea Partiers. And it was one of those moments that I was like, okay, this made me laugh to no end. So, it doesn't really have a whole lot to do with sports. Yes, we understand that. But we've had, you know, we're going to take a little editorial personal privilege discretion here and play this audio for you of interviews with a group of random Tea Partiers.
It is quite funny.
And yeah. So we're going to leave you with that. You can catch us back here on Not Another Sports Show, your progressive look at the world of sports, here every Saturday from 2 to 3. On WRFU 104.5 LPFM, or you can also catch us via iTunes podcast. So
right.
With that,
okay. Let's
cue up the tea parties.
Here we go.
Jerry!
That's what they want! They are using you! It's called slavery!
going to debate. I'm going to show you facts.
Just tell us first why you guys came out today.
We're here to make a statement. We're very concerned about our country. We think we're losing our country.
Our country is going down the toilet really fast because our leaders are refusing to listen to us. They're being like tyrannical dictators.
Why push health care on people that have excellent health care? We have the best health care in the world.
Yeah. It's all about bureaucracy. It's all about control. It's not at all about people's health.
Government can't run anything effectively, and to think that they can run health care is smoking the funny stuff.
Three words. Not good for the country.
And that's five words, that's three.
It's a pitchfork. Yeah. It's made out of cardboard, and it's all symbols, symbolic. It's intended that when the people get to the point where they've had enough, they grab their farm tools, and they storm the castle.
What are some of your problems with the health care bill that Congress is trying to pass now?
That's not a bill. That's socialized.
What is it that your organization is opposed to in the health care bill?
Government takeover of our health care, the whole thing, scrap it.
But I mean, which specific provisions do you consider to be the government takeover?
The whole thing.
What are some of the things in it that you have problems with?
I don't know.
Do you have other problems with the health care bill?
That nice little death tax, the way they would send you, they would rather send you a $50 check for a blue pill, end of life pill, than pay for the necessary medical expenses.
Obamacare is euthanasia. It's rationing.
They have a curve where as you start out as a baby, you become more and more important. Till you get to a certain age, then you're not important anymore.
Where is this in the bill that people can find this?
I don't even know what's in the bill, per se.
What is the provision in the bill that makes you concerned that they might want to kill senior citizens?
You got a real good blonde here. If you're, I don't know what side you're on, but...
What do you feel so passionately opposed to this bill for?
Because I'm an elderly, I'm 67, and it's going to be rationed.
But what in our bill makes you think that?
Everything there, it's just that's the way it's going to be. It's socialized medicine, and we do not want it.
Anything specifically?
The rationing.
But, I mean, where specifically in the bill do you find the rationing?
Well, I'm not actually sure, but I've just heard tidbits and so forth about it, and I'm like, we don't want it.
And where is it people are hearing about the bill? Where are you hearing these things about that it's going to ration health care?
Fox News.
He's on the top list of, he looks like he's flip-flopping, so,
Tell us about your signs here.
Okay, well, to me, he is creating Ameristan, of the government, by the government, for the government.
Now, why Stan?
Well, I just think that... Just creating you.
Sounds foreign.
Yeah.
We think the government should adhere to the Constitution. When Barack Obama, I don't believes in the Constitution.
Right.
And even though
he was a constitutional scholar.
So they say.
It's against our U.S. Constitution.
Yeah.
The way these guys are going to backdoor this health care bill, it's not in, and I have a pocket of the, Constitution here. Somewhere. It's in the other pocket.
The Constitution gives you your rights, but they're inalienable rights from God. Did you realize that?
Well, there are people in our country who don't believe in God. They should have
that's
rights as
that's
well.
Correct. So if we remove God, we have no rights.
What would you like to see a health care reform look like?
Well, we do need health care reform. Tort reform.
Tort reform and
tort reform and
tort reform.
Tort reform. Tort reform. Stop suing the pants off the doctors. You know, that's why medical bills have to be high.
They believe that tort reform would only lower the cost of health care by about 1.5%.
Well, I think it'd be more than that, really.
I
don't really know.
Independent groups have said that if we did tort reform, it would only be about 2% that we'd actually lower costs, which wouldn't do anything to bend the curve of health care costs.
I kind of find that hard to believe. I mean, yeah, you can skew the numbers any which way you want.
I believe that Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, actually, in Hebrew, is our great physician. As we pray to him, we can be healed. Also,
you think that the people who don't have insurance...
Natural herbs and remedies have been found even by the Indians and by the Hindus and by the Chinese to take care of a lot of our ills in a very inexpensive, affordable manner.
Do you think that it's a legitimate proposal to say that those people who don't have health insurance should seek their health care from religious figures or from herbs? Or?
Well, I think that's one alternative.
Yeah. What do you think should happen with the 30 million people who don't have insurance?
I don't believe there's 30 million people that don't have insurance.
Well, what do you think about the people who don't have insurance?
There's always going to be somebody that needs help. Always. Yeah. That's just a fact of life. There's always going to be poor people.
A lot of people are basically taught generation after generation not to go out and work, not to provide for themselves. They're relying on the government.
And you think this is the situation with a lot of people who are uninsured?
I absolutely do.
What should happen to the 30 million people that don't have insurance?
Yeah.
Do you see anybody lying in the streets? They get medical care if they decide to go to a hospital.
You can go to any hospital and get health care.
I know there are places people can go. There are free clinics. There's emergency, and you can't be turned away from places like that.
Should that be our plan, to allow, just have them get their health care from emergency room, which in turn raises everyone else's health care costs?
Sure, there should be a lot of things that could be done. I don't have all the answers. I just know government is not the answer. Give it to some private company and let them make a profit off of doing it.
The concern with that is that when they get treated with the emergency room, that cost goes back into the hospital, and then everyone has to pay for it your insurance pays for it right now. And so that's why there's this legislative effort to get people insured.
It's up to the government, though, to make sure that everybody has health insurance. I don't see that.
I challenge anybody to read that 2,000 plus bill, the first one that came out, and essentially everything that they want to do is roughly the same.
But I mean, the size of that bill is still only it remakes the largest industry in our country, and re-regulates the largest industry in our country, and it's still only about the size of a couple Harry Potter books, you know.
Well, that's a great, great analogy, because I think if we go into that bill, that's the kind of world we'll be living in, the Harry Potter world.
Why isn't the media covering this, you know?
I hope and pray that you two young men that are majoring in journalism will take back the media, because the media are supposed to be watchdogs. They're supposed to cover, like Fox, fair and balanced. Supposed to cover both sides.
Fox News. Everybody else is on Obama's side.
Fox News. We recommend Fox News.
Yeah. And you brought up Glenn Beck a moment ago. Why do you think that he is such a good example for someone who's trying to speak truth?
Can I show you? Let me show you. I'm going to disrobe. Got it?
Okay, so this is, tell me about this.
This is Glenn Beck's principles that we're all trying to adhere to make it simpler policy for America.
Glenn Beck's commandments, then.
Well, no. I mean, it's all of us. We all agree.
You know, they call themselves fair and balanced, but I think that they pretty much have a conservative viewpoint, and that's the kind of information that we're looking for anyway. That's the way we believe, and the way we were brought up, you know, to fend for ourselves.
Is there a concern that if people who were conservative, say, watched a conservative network, or if people who were liberal watched a liberal network, that would just reinforce their...
Right, you get what you're looking for.
Yeah.
And I'm not particularly looking for the kind of news I'd get on MSNBC.
If you know the term drinking the purple Kool-Aid, that was from back in the 70s, I believe, when the Jim Jones people were, they just blindly followed a leader drinking purple Kool-Aid.